Our scripture reading is Matthew 12, verses 22 to 37. We looked at Matthew 12, 22 to 32 last week. Now we will focus on 33 to 37. These are not the easiest verses to understand or to proclaim in scriptures, but they are very, very important, very good for us and needful. Verses 22 to 37, and the sermon text is verses 33 to 37. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the son of David?" Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." And here's the text. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we, just before the reading of Scripture, we sang Psalm 141, or the first portion of it. In that psalm, it's a prayer asking God to guard our lips, guard our hearts. We won't be drawn away in our words and our desires after sinful things. That when a just man, when a faithful man rebukes us and exposes our sins and corrects us, that we won't refuse that either, that we will heed that. Not heed sinful desires, not heed the devil's temptations, but that we will heed the words of a faithful man, the rebuke of a faithful one. Well, those are Jesus' words to us this morning. They are a rebuke of a faithful one, the faithful one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who says these things not with hatred, not with violence, but with love and compassion. The purpose that he says these hard words to confront our sins, to expose our sins, is so that we may be healed, so that we will turn to him in repentance and be saved, that we won't just go on our jolly way in sin, ignorant of it, keeping it in the darkness, but that it will be exposed by the light, that we can come to the Savior who is the light of the world, who is the one who heals, who gives us a new heart. And so we read this in that context of gospel and of grace. Even as when we looked at that sin against the Spirit, the so-called unforgivable sin, that we needed to put that in the context of that great promise that there is no sin that will not be forgiven men who come to Christ in true faith. but that this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit must be, as we judge according to the rest of the of Scripture, when Jesus says, you know, no one who comes to me will I cast away, that this sin against the Holy Spirit must be ultimately a hardened, stated, and lifelong persistence in ascribing to Jesus the work of Satan. Such a hardened resistance and fighting against the Holy Spirit that that person loses all hope any longer of repentance and coming to Jesus. But all those who come to Jesus, even if we might think, oh, that so long ago, I did that thing, I said that thing, have I committed the unforgivable sin? Well, no, if you come to Jesus Christ in true faith, there is forgiveness. But it's only those who, in that kind of resistance, ascribe to Jesus the work of Satan. But there is no forgiveness because they do not come to the fount of grace. And so, in that context, we read these words about our words and how they reveal our hearts and how we will be judged. We'll be justified or condemned by our words on that great day when Jesus returns. So we do so looking at this passage under the very simple theme of this passage is our words reveal our hearts. Our words reveal our hearts. And Jesus, first of all, focuses our eyes on the target, namely our hearts. Secondly, he warns us of the judgments. And thirdly, he gives to us the gospel. So first of all, Christ's target is the heart. Christ's warning is the judgments. Christ's purpose here is the gospel. Christ's target, the heart. Christ's warning, the judgments. Christ's purpose, the gospel. First of all, Christ's target is the heart. The principle that Jesus teaches us is that our lives, what we think, say, and do, and specifically our words, he's applying that to, that those things reveal our hearts. That just like if you take a big bottle of pop or sparkling water and you shake it up and unloosen the top, so you know it'll all come spewing out. Well, that is what our words reveal, either a good heart or a bad heart. By heart, he's referring not to the muscle in your chest that pumps blood, but is referring to the control center of your being and my being. This innermost headquarters of ourselves, where our deepest desires and our deepest loves and our deepest affections reside. And that control center will either be good or bad. It will either be ruled by Christ or by Satan, either by the Prince of Peace or by the Prince of Demons. There's no in-between. Remember last week, there's no middle ground here. The first image that he uses is that of fruit trees. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. And we read that in John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. So Jesus is the source. He is the vine. We are the branch engrafted into him. Or think Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree. That is the man who loves the Lord and follows his law. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. The principle is the tree bears bad fruit. It must be a bad tree. You see the fruits. You see, the tree is bad. If the fruit is good, the tree is good. The tree is healthy. The second image is that of a treasure chest. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So there's the tree, the root and the branch. If the root is healthy, if the tree is healthy, the fruit will be good. If it's bad, the fruit will be bad. Now, how about our heart being a treasure chest? Our heart is a home, and there in the deep inside lie all the treasures of ourselves. What we store up, what we value, what we love, our treasures. And what happens is our wills, when we choose to do something, when we want to do something, our desires, our actions, our words, they reach into the treasure chests of our hearts. And if it is good there, what comes out is good. If it is bad in there, what comes out is bad. Our wills, that is our the choosing, deciding, acting part of our being, reaches in here into our hearts to find what we want to do. And if that is bad, that is if we were not ruled by the Holy Spirit, if we are, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2, dead in trespasses and sin, and there is no grace at work in our hearts, all that we will find to do in here is sin. It's against God. But if Christ is at work, if Christ is truly at work, and there are good treasures in our hearts, that work of grace and of love for Jesus and of delight in His law, then what we will find to do in there that will come out in our actions and our words, what we will find to do in there is good and will delight the Lord. And we need to remember as we read this that the good tree and the good treasure chest is describing a true believer, one who by faith in Christ belongs to Him and obeys Him. That's trust and obedience. But he who trusts or she who trusts in the Lord and follows Him will never in this life be free from sin. So when we say good and bad, we should not think of that in terms of the good one being one who is perfect and without sin in this life. Yes, as believers, we are freed from the tyranny of sin. No longer rules, dominates, lords over us. But we're not free from its touch. We will always be troubled by the presence of sin in our hearts until the day we go to heaven, right? As we were reminded going through the Lord's Prayer in the evenings, on Sunday evenings, that Christ teaches us to pray daily for forgiveness. Why? Because sin still remains in here. But the principle here that Jesus is teaching us remains for every one of us. He says to the Pharisees in verse 34, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." He's saying, I know your hearts. I know that you were evil. I know that you were sons of the devil. You were sons of snakes. So it is impossible for you to reach into your heart and find something good to say. You have just reached into your heart, he's saying, and what you have pulled out of there is ascribing to me the work of Satan. You see my miracles. You see me cast out demons, and you say, he does that by the power of the devil. And Jesus is saying, I know why you say that. It's because what you just reached into, your treasure chest, your tree, is dark. It's evil. These are very important words for us. Because we too can be so easily, we can so easily slip into this same danger of the Pharisees. What has Jesus been doing ever since we saw him begin in Matthew 4, his public ministry? He's been going after the heart. The heart is the target, right? The Sermon on the Mount, especially, we saw that. He's saying, look, murder, it's here in the heart. Adultery is in the heart. That's where it begins. And that is just as offensive as if it, you know, stems out into actions. Truth, love, spiritual disciplines. Jesus is always going after the heart. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Why does he do that? Well, because the Pharisees had created this religious culture in which it was almost all about external markers. It was all surfacey. Saying the right things, doing the right things, but never examining the heart and getting to the heart of the matter. Why? Well, because we can control what we do out here, but we can't control our hearts. And they wanted to be masters of their own religion. And Jesus is saying, no, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, unless your righteousness drives down deep into your heart, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Right? He's saying you need a new heart. That's the point. If what we see coming out of our mouths or out of our lives betrays sin, and darkness? The answer to that, and we'll come back to that more extensively later in the third point, the answer to that is not to say, well, let me try really hard to do better things, but rather to say, I need a new heart. I need Christ to change my heart. And I need that every single day, all the time. I need Him to be renewing this sinful heart. So Jesus' target is the heart. And to get at the heart, one of the things He does is He gives us a warning, Christ's warning, the judgment. These are tough words. Verse 36 and 37, I say to you that for every idle word, that is useless, word that breaks down, that is not true, that is not in accordance with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that doesn't bless God, it doesn't bless others, every idle word, men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. So it'll all come before us and before everybody, be made public, and we're going to have to give account for that. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And so those words will be brought forth, they'll be made public, the truth will out. And the question is, am I justified by, do those words justify me, or do those words condemn me? And when we hear that kind of warning, maybe instinctively you think, oh yeah, but for believers, you know, we're not saved by our works. God doesn't judge us according to our works. He embraces us in Christ by faith. And yes, this is true. But we should not let these warnings fall on deaf ears. What Jesus is doing, He says to all men, believers and unbelievers. One of the things He does when He warns us of hell and of judgment is it's one of the ways that He drives us to Himself. And so we are to take these seriously. Like Psalm 141 takes these words seriously. Lord, guard my lips. Keep watch over the door of my mouth. I don't want to sin against you with my words. Why? Because I know what that says about my heart. It grieves you and it grieves me. So Jesus is warning us. And that's why throughout the New Testament as well, we see that focus on words. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 and 5 and Colossians 3 says, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Nothing filthy, nothing, no lies, nothing that tip God. Unplanned words, right? What comes out of your mouth in the heat of the moment? Aye, what does that reveal? Those times when you get frustrated with somebody or something. But especially, we want to remember that the context of what Jesus is saying here is what the Pharisees have to say about Christ. Jesus, you cast out demons by the prince of demons. Jesus, your work is demonic. And so especially what Jesus is focusing on here is our words about Jesus. What are your words about Jesus? What do your unplanned words reveal about Jesus? Your secret words. What do you say when maybe you're at a party and you're having a good time? What comes out then? What do you say when frustration mounts up and you boil over? What do you say within yourself where no one else can be, no one else can see, no one else can hear? What do you say to God then? Or what don't you say? Maybe you don't say. Maybe you don't say anything. Maybe all of your words that you say about God are only said in public so that others can hear, but there is no conversation with God in secret. What does that reveal? Right? Jesus is saying, take a look at your heart. He does not want us to fall into that trap of doing all the churchy things, being formalistic. Do all the churchy things. Say all the churchy words. And not examine our hearts. Not have those gospel conversations. Or speak to one another about the things of the Lord and ask, so where is my heart? Where is your heart? What's going on in there? We need to hear this. I need to hear this warning. The heart is the target. And to help expose that and to get us thinking about that and to wake us up, Jesus says, remember the judgments. You will stand there and it'll all come out. Yes, what you have done, but also what you have said. That's Jesus' focus. Matthew 15 will focus more on the things we do, but here especially the words, the things we say. Christ says every single word will be brought into judgment. And by your words, you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. As we hear that, we need to then thirdly see Christ's purpose here is the gospel. And we need to put these words in the context of the gospel. See, Jesus does not mean that if we say a certain number of bad words, we go to hell. But if we say a certain number of good words, well, then we go to heaven. And hopefully our good words will, win the day. Hopefully our good words will be a little bit greater than our bad words. Oh, but if our bad words are a little bit too much, well, then we go to hell. That's not the gospel. That's not Christianity. That is Islam. That is Allah, where or that is most people who live in our neighborhoods today. Oh, yeah, I've done bad things, but I've also done a lot of good things. I've led a pretty decent life. And the hope is that, I'll go to heaven because the good things that I did just, they sort of outweighed the bad things. That is not the gospel. That is salvation by works. That is not what Jesus teaches. That is not what the Bible teaches. The point here, our words reveal our hearts. So one day when we stand before Jesus, the question will be, where was your heart? Do you belong to Jesus? Do you believe in him? Have you followed him? Or do you not belong to Jesus? Have you not believed in him and not followed him? And one of the evidences for that will be the words that we have said. So where does this leave us? Where does this bring us? It brings us to a call to repentance. On Judgment Day, what will matter most is our hearts. Have we been planted in Jesus? Are we rooted in him? Have the treasure chests of our hearts been renewed and changed by his grace? Whatever our sinful nature reveals, or whatever our words reveal about us, the question is, do we seek repentance? Do we pray for that repentance? So first of all, we need to know that who in the world can be justified on the basis of their words? None of us. None of us can say, Lord Jesus, these are all the words, the good words that I said, and therefore you ought to accept me and love me. Who can say that? James 3, the Apostle James acknowledges, who can tame the tongue? It is such an unruly evil. None of us will ever perfectly master it in this life. The presence of sin will constantly be coming to the fore through our mouths. But the question is, what do we do with that? Where do we go with it? Every day of our lives, from the beginning of our Christian life, from the first time we believed in Jesus, to the very last day when God takes us home. We need to hear this call for a new heart. A new heart can only be found in Jesus Christ. He turns on the light. Say, your words reveal your heart. What's going on in there? We don't want the light to be turned on because we don't want to see the cockroaches and all the other things scurrying around. But Jesus says, you need that turned on. Why? Because I'm the exterminator. We should probably use the image of, I am the healer. I am the restorer. I am the forgiveness of your sins. I am the one who gives you that new heart. We never stop needing to come to Jesus every day of our lives to begin again. That's what repentance is. It is a beginning again. Jesus died for our sins, and he rose to new life 2,000 years ago. And in repentance, what are we doing? What do we say? Lord Jesus, here's my darkness. Here's my sin. and I don't want it. And I hate it. And I hate what it shows about me. But Jesus, your blood, you promised. And I receive that promise. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we say, Jesus, I come to you for rest. This is my sin, my mess, my deadness. Make me new. Give me life. Forgive my sins. And that heart, Jesus promises us, will be justified. We'll be declared righteous when we come to Christ in faith today and tomorrow and every day of our lives and until the day we die as we need to. So the Lord Jesus promises to us the forgiveness of our sins, that the record, the splotch of our lives, the sin on our lives, that record is placed on him and his perfect record of righteousness is given to us by grace through faith. We can't be justified by having enough good words. We are justified in Christ alone. And so the question is, what do we do with that? Will we, with our words, confess our sins and confess Christ and return to him for forgiveness and renewal? I invite you to turn with me for a moment in closing to Hosea chapter 14. Or just listen along carefully. Hosea 14. Here is the way to be justified. Here is the way to have a new heart. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you. Right when we see our sin, Jesus exposes that. What do we do with that? That's the question. What are our words about Christ in that moment? That is what will stand before God on the judgment day. What did you say about Jesus? Your sins are evident for all to see, but what did you say about Jesus? Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands. You are our gods, for in you the fatherless finds mercy. God's response, I will heal their backsliding. Say, Jesus, here's my deadness and my darkness. Here's where I've been so far away from you. And he says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, as he gives us this warning, as he exposes our hearts, as it is in the whole, entire Gospel of Matthew, why has Jesus come? Not to say you're sinners, you're doomed, and to enjoy damning us to eternal torment. No, he comes to expose that sin, to remind us and warn us of the judgment. Why? So that we will turn to him for mercy. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for these revealing words. We pray that they will reveal to each and every one of us the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace, clothed with his gospel and his promises. That you, Lord, will expose our sins, and that you will do so to heal and restore and to bring us to eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.